Hello, everyone, to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we would like to discuss about the factors contributing to the surprising economic resilience of the euro area over the past 12 months. The euro area has faced one of its most dramatic energy price shocks. It's facing an increasingly hostile international trade environment and also experienced a confidence shock in connection with the Russian invasion in Ukraine. Nevertheless, a recession has been avoided. We will try to shed some light on why this is the case and what this means going forward.
Yeah, to see how surprisingly things have turned out for the euro area, let's bring ourselves briefly back to January 2022. So in January 2022, the euro area was still trying to catch up from the plunge in economic activity associated with the pandemic, in particular the quite deadly Delta wave of infections during the winter. And the economy was also struggling with the aftermath of the global supply chain problems, which were still weighing heavily on the industrial sector.
Yes, and in fact, the euro area recovery at that point, the beginning of 2022, looked quite fragile. And this was exactly the time when then Russia decided to attack Ukraine in February. And this invasion triggered a huge surge in European energy costs that eventually resulted from a virtually complete halt of Russian gas deliveries to Europe. And it also triggered large geopolitical uncertainties, given that now a full-scale war was suddenly waged in the middle of Europe. And given that these events hit the euro area economy at the point when it was still in a rather weak spot, it seemed just a matter of time before the economy would start to contract again. And many analysts started to forecast that the recession would start sometime during the second half of 2022.
But the euro area economy kept growing, showing a surprising resilience, and economic activity was still expanding by 0.3 quarter on quarter in the third quarter of last year, which is the last quarter for which we have official GDP data. Also, monthly data available so far don't point to the start of a recession anytime soon. Euro area industrial production for November, for example, was up 1% month over month, and the 3-month moving average that smoothens out some of the monthly volatility stood in November at 0.3, which is slightly above its long-term average.
Yes, and what's more, the German Statistical Office published last week an informal GDP estimate for the fourth quarter of 2022, which suggests that German growth stagnated in the final quarter of 2022. And given that Germany was probably the most vulnerable country with regard to the energy situation amongst the large euro area economies, the fact that Germany seems to have avoided a contraction means most likely that the euro area as a whole kept growing in the last quarter of 2022, even if only moderately.
The pessimism about euro area economic activity in 2022 expressed by many analysts initially seemed justified, as business sentiment also saw a quick deterioration following the Russian attack. So the Composite Purchasing Manager Index, one of the most important monthly cyclical indicator, which asks euro area companies about the current economic situation and also the outlook, that index started to decline quickly from April 2022 onwards. Between April and June, the PMI index declined by one standard deviation, and it has stayed below 50 since the second half of 2022, which is generally considered to be the level at which the economy starts to contract.
Yes, and based on past correlation between the PMI and GDP growth, the level of the composite PMI reached during the summer of 2022 was consistent with a contraction in economic activity by around 0.3% during the third quarter. But instead, the euro area economy expanded by 0.3% quarter over quarter in the third quarter of 2022. And this divergence between actual growth and business sentiment seems to be extending into the final quarter of 2022, as hard data remain consistent with moderate growth, while the level of the composite PMI indicator remains in recessionary territory.
And this unusual divergence between economic activity and business sentiment can be also seen on the sectoral level. So in the past, there has been a very tight correlation between the manufacturing PMI. So it's the same survey, but just here focusing on companies in the manufacturing sector, and the annual growth rate of industrial production. So there has been a very tight correlation. Over the past 20 years, before the start of the pandemic, that was on a monthly basis 0.8, that correlation. Yet over the last 2 years, both series have diverged, with manufacturing sentiment now pointing south, but actual industrial activity holding up quite well.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting observation, and it may explain why many analysts have wrongly predicted a recession for the second half of 2022 in the euro area. They simply placed a lot of weight on these PMI indicators, which have worked very well in the past. Now, the more difficult part is to try and understand why the PMIs may not be such a good indicator for economic activity in the current situation.
Yeah, one factor contributing to the correlation breakdown between the PMIs and the hard data could be the fact that the shocks hitting the euro area economy, as well as the policy response to these shocks, were quite unprecedented. This means that asking companies for their opinions about the economic situation and outlook may just not be as informative as in more usual circumstances. Companies may just also find it difficult to assess how the economic environment shapes up in that current situation, which after all is indeed quite unique.
Yeah, and the second factor contributing to analysts' misprediction could be the fact that the cyclical picture is often very much determined by demand side factors. During normal times, so to speak, analysts trying to forecast economic activity thus concentrate on how private and government demand evolves, how investment demand and foreign demand develops. They implicitly assume that whatever demand turns out to be, companies will be able to produce. The supply side of the economy is assumed to be elastic within certain bounds, obviously, and consequently does not feature prominently in short-term forecasting.
Yeah, and in 2022, things were quite different, though. So the pandemic and the war in Ukraine implied that the supply side of the economy was anything but a sideshow, as it usually is. At the start of 2022, companies were still outright limited in their capacity to produce. These bottlenecks were reflected in a significant lengthening of delivery times. In particular, companies had to wait much longer than usual for intermediate goods, which limited their ability to respond to rising demand once the first wave of lockdowns was passed during the summer of 2020. It also meant that the strength of the recovery was rather muted at the early phase, and that the level of GDP at the turn of the year 2021-2022 was still around 1% below the pre-pandemic level. And some of these bottlenecks have become less stringent during the course of 2022, which then consequently helped to support economic activity.
Yes, and another factor perhaps contributing to the surprising resilience of the euro area economy is the fact that the lockdowns during the early phase of the pandemic led to an unusual divergence between disposable income and consumption at the household level. Usually, disposable income and consumption move pretty much in lockstep, as changes in savings are relatively small. Yet, with pandemic-related limitations on household spending, household income developed much stronger than actual consumption. And this led to a sharp increase in savings. To give some numbers, the household savings rate shot up from around 14% of disposable income prior to the pandemic to more than 20% by early 2021. The situation has since reversed, with growth rates in consumption now exceeding the growth rates in disposable household income. And the resulting strong consumption dynamics are another factor that helped the euro area to avoid recession in 2022.
Yeah, the presence of excess savings at the household level may also explain why the negative real income shock associated with sky-high energy prices in 2022 may not have led the kind of negative consumption response we usually would have seen or expected. So this energy-related negative income shock was certainly big enough to trigger in its own right a recession in the euro area.
Yeah, just to provide some perspective, prior to the invasion, the euro area paid around 0.5% of its GDP for gas imports. The gas bill rose to around 2.5% of GDP in 2022. The euro area thus had to send an additional 2% of GDP as income to foreign countries. Under normal circumstances, this shock would have led to a cutback in private consumption. Yet private consumption kept growing robustly in 2022 by an average of around 0.6% quarter over quarter. And this despite a significant decline in real income. Nominal income was growing around 5% in the second quarter of 2022, with inflation running at around 8%.
And let's also not forget that part of the resilience of private consumption was due to government support measures. So governments across the euro area stepped in and increased transfers to households significantly, with more being in the pipeline going forward. The German government, for instance, approved plans for 262 billion euro to support households and companies in dealing with the energy shock that amounts to more than 7% of German GDP. How much of that money will eventually be spent remains an open question, not least because it depends on how the gas price will develop, but the financial support will be in any case significant.
Right. This said, not all parts of the economy were immune against the surge in energy prices. Some energy-intensive sectors, in particular the chemical sector, saw a quite dramatic plunge in activity. Output in the German chemical sector, for instance, is now down 20% relative to the level before the war. This is a much bigger decline in output than this sector has seen during the early phase of the pandemic, when output dropped by around 10%. This said, the overall decrease in economic activity for the economy as a whole is surprisingly muted. And this was actually predicted by a famous paper written by a number of economists, including Ben Moll from LSE, Christian Bayer from Bonn University, Rudi Bachmann from Notre Dame. In their paper titled "What If the Economic Consequences of a Stop of German Energy Imports from Russia," they actually predicted that the aggregate effects would be relatively muted. Now, this said, they partly also predicted that the effect on the energy-intensive sector would be equally rather small. That seems not to be the case, though.
One element was that other sectors offset the adverse impact of high energy prices on energy-intensive sector. And part of this may be due to the easing of supply chain disruptions. So the energy-intensive sector clearly hit, but at the same time, other sectors doing better. The car sector here is a case in point, where problems with the supply of semiconductors were holding the sector back during the first 2 years of the pandemic. But activity in the car sector has now picked up as the supply chain problems have eased. This is reflected in a strong rebound in euro area new car registrations from a trough of around 580,000 in March 2022 to 770,000 in November of 2022.
Yeah, more generally, we can see this sort of pent-up production in some sectors is partially offsetting the energy shock in other sectors. Indicators point to a record high backlog of orders. So according to the European Commission survey, companies are reporting a record high number of assured months of production given order books. So it now stands, the order books now assure around 5 months of production, which is the highest number since recordings began in 1990. The pent-up production effect could also be seen in the service sector as the pandemic restrictions were fading. In particular, all activities related to travel and leisure were catching up strongly during 2022, as our listeners may have experienced themselves. Activity in the entertainment sector was also growing by around 3% quarter over quarter during the first three quarters of 2022, compared with a growth rate of just 0.5% for manufacturing. So all this contributed to avoiding a contraction in 2022.
Yeah, so to sum up, what are the reasons why the euro area avoided the recession? And we identified several reasons behind that. So recession fears were probably overpredicted to start with, given the breakdown of PMI indicators and other sentiment indicators with actual economic activities. These indicators are just unfortunately less useful than in normal times. And then we had a number of positive surprises in 2022. So supply side restriction eased considerably during the course of 2022, and that led to pent up production catching up, particularly in the car sector. Pent up demand associated with pandemic excess savings helped sustain the economy. In particular, it helped to buffer against the negative effects of high energy prices. And finally, quite expensive fiscal policy due to income support measures by government also contributed to avoid a recession.
Yeah, so that was 2022. Now, briefly, what does this mean going forward? That's, of course, hard business, as you know, Dirk. But I guess some of the positive drivers, such as savings, excess savings, are probably going to normalize, and there will be perhaps less support from that side. At the same time, energy prices have come down, and that is going to certainly help spending power. Another negative is that financial conditions are now much tighter than they used to be at the beginning of the last year. The ECB has been hiking interest rates, and particular long-term rates have come up quite significantly.
Yeah, we should also mention probably the global environment is probably going to look better. China, as we all know, has ended its zero COVID policy, while in the short term that probably is leading to disruptions. Once the virus has gone through the Chinese population, I guess then the outlook will brighten quite a bit. And therefore, 2023 Chinese growth could be quite strong. What's the net effect of all this going to be? Well, we'll leave that for another podcast, and we shall see. Speak to you next week then, Klaus, and thanks for your time again.